This is Jeffrey Sherman, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 210 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to go over some of the fun things we did on the trip because, unfortunately, we are all back. With me tonight? Yep. And from that boo, you know, we got Jimmy with us tonight. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
I am fantastic. Thank you.
And along with Jimmy, we have Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Ed. How you doing tonight?
Good. Good. Now, I think Lisa was actually the last one to get back home. What was your final travel day? When did you get home?
We arrived back home late Tuesday night. Our flight landed at 11:30 p.m.
Oh, there you go. I got home late Monday night, and Jimmy got home early Sunday morning.
Well, I tell you, that was the best thing I could have done, though.
Yeah, forget that. What time did you get up and leave the hotel?
I got up probably at 3:30.
Right. Yeah, but you were home by like, what, 8:30, right?
I was in my house. I was in my house by 9 o'clock, and I went and took a little nap. I was back up by noon, went to see Thor with my daughter, went to dinner with my daughter who didn't make the trip, and went to the movie. So it was kind of a nice day. Now, a lot of times I'll take Monday off. You know, if we come home on a Sunday, I'll take Monday off as well just to kind of have a day. But I didn't do that this time, so it was nice to get home early and just kind of have a day loafing around the house and just getting back into the swing of things.
Oh, sure.
I think Jimmy was up before – I think Jimmy was home before I was up on Sunday morning.
Probably.
That's pretty funny.
That's true because – yeah, so, well, 10 – I was home 9 o'clock my time, so I gained an hour on the way back. So 10 o'clock, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's fun. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go over some of the fun events we had planned for this past weekend. I think without a doubt, everything went pretty well. What do you guys think?
I think we packed a lot of outstanding things into a pretty small period of time. And Jimmy, I know you were down there for 9 days. I was down there for 8 days. Ed, you had a shorter trip than us. But really, the events were from Thursday to Saturday night.
Right, pretty much. And we started our Thursday night out by all getting together and going to see Yeehaw Bob, which you would have listened to last week's show, number 209, which was pretty cool.
That was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, it's got to be something we have to do every time now. Bob treated us so well. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I think Yeehaw Bob is a staple for every trip. Anytime somebody asks me what to do on a non-park or any non-park thing that they want to do, Yeehaw Bob is one of my very first recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I tell you what, guys, if you want to watch the show we watched, you can go back to our Facebook page, the podcast page, and we did a live video of it that night. So it's still on the page there. You can look under videos. And it was just so fun. I just can't say enough about it.
I have the video downloaded already and edited and kind of ready to go up on YouTube, too. So I'll be putting it up there. And I guess I'll tag it as a Disney Nerds Podcast Meetup.
Yeah, now this is one of those YouTube videos I could put on YouTube and not even watch it and just leave the sound on. And I'll
listen to it.
Yeah,
just it's listen just to it.
Really, really good.
Yep. It's what I've done with live streams in the past and what I did with Jimmy's live stream from a week ago Saturday. I just sat and listened to it in the car right on the way to work.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's great stuff.
That one ended up being kind of an impromptu live stream because that night we had planned on being at Epcot. That was the day we arrived. And we did Magic Kingdom that morning, hopped over to Epcot, went there and hung out for a little while, and then it started to rain. So it was me and Kim and my cousin Michelle and her boyfriend Hilliard, and we were like, I really wanted to see Illuminations that night. It was his first trip. It was Hilliard's first trip. But I'm like, well, it's raining, so what do y'all want to do? And I told Kim, I said, we should take him to see Yaha Bob. So they didn't, you know, they were down for anything. So that's what we did. And Hilliard's a musician, and I think that was one of the highlights of his trip was watching Bob, and he ended up coming the second time, and he really flipped out. He really thought it was fantastic. Not just the shtick and the show, but just how talented Bob is as a musician as well.
Oh, sure, no doubt. Now, I tell you what, guys, if you go back and listen to 209, you can listen to the first couple minutes of Bob's performance, and you will get a taste of how good a piano player he is. We lucked out in that he started the last set we were listening to playing Rhapsody in Blue. And if you remember, that's that song from Fantasia that I think it's a Gershwin, but it's an incredible song, piano made for the piano, and Bob does it proud.
That was a jingle for an airline, wasn't it, Ed?
Yeah, American or United, one of those guys. Hmm. But great, great song, great time. Great evening, and he's such a nice guy too. He's given out autographs and photographs till very late.
Yes, he has. So, how many sets does he do, Jimmy?
Three.
So he typically does three sets. So it is a family-friendly show. That's something to note. If you've never experienced Yaha Bob, typically that first set or two is family-friendly, but as he gets a little later in the evening, it becomes a little bit more adult-friendly.
Oh, true.
I would say it's still family friendly, but he does things that are going to appeal to the kids earlier, I would say.
Right. You won't get a SpongeBob SquarePants later on in the night.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. So, and actually for us on the last night, he ended up doing another little like encore because Sam went up there. When he was doing the autograph, Sam went up there and talked to him, and I don't know what Sam told him. But Sam had told him something, how much he liked a certain song, so Bob hopped back on the piano and played it.
Mm-hmm. For his son.
Yeah.
He played one little spark for his son.
That sure did. Sure did. Yep. For Lucas. Yep. He sure did.
Yeah. All classic stuff.
And that's not something that's not just a Disney Nerds podcast thing. He would do that for anybody if you walked up and said, you know, we never caught this song. Is there any way you can play it for us? I'm certain he'd sit down and tickle the ivories a little bit more.
Oh, sure. Nope, he's a very nice guy, down and down. So we had a really, really good time with Bob, and then we got to our Friday now. The first real meet we had, quote-unquote meet, was the Behind the Scenes tour. Now, I've done it before, so I was really kind of looking forward to it because I knew it was going to happen. And what was cool is we had so many people with us that had never done it before. I think we had like maybe 18 people total.
Yeah, we had 18 people. Yep.
And that was a pretty fun tour. The tour guide we had was a pistol. She was great. I can't remember her name, but if I had to say she had to look like somebody, it was the lady from Game of Thrones, the blonde, the Khaleesi girl. Didn't you think she looked like her?
Yeah, she does. I don't even watch Game of Thrones, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, she had that almost that frosty blonde hair.
Yeah, and we'll put her name on there. We've got a great picture, so we'll post that up when we post the show notes.
I want to say it was Angela.
Yeah, I know, and I've got plenty of pictures, so I'm sure we have her name tag in there somewhere.
I'm sure we do, yeah.
But she was great. She hadn't been with the Living with the Land for a long time. I think it was maybe 6 months she was talking about.
She works in aquaculture, right?
Correct. Correct. And she was finishing up her college degree, I think.
Yeah.
But the tour was phenomenal. It was about an hour long. Took us through all the different parts of the greenhouse. Even took us outside to see a couple behind-the-scenes things, which were pretty cool. What'd you guys think? I mean, I've done it before. Jimmy, you've never done it.
I really thought it was fantastic. It's only the second tour I've done. Third tour if you include the boardwalk tour, which they don't do anymore, apparently. But it was very interesting. You know what I think one of the best parts about it is watching the boats go by and the people in the boats looking at you like, what are those guys doing? The guys, how did they get that pass, right?
Yeah, and I can't deny that is kind of a little bit of a thrill to it, I guess.
Yeah, you feel like you're somewhere where you probably shouldn't be, like you're a VIP or something, right?
Sure. Now, the tour itself, guys, just so you know, it's about $20. It's a little bit cheaper with the discounts, and you don't have to schedule it more than that morning. You can just walk up to their counter and schedule it, and you'll probably get on almost any tour you want to get onto. Ours was probably the most crowded one they had that day. Usually they don't have that many people on them, but they can take up to 20.
20 was the max they would let us take, and if we had more than 20, they would break it up into more than one group. So you could go with 40, but you're going to have two groups of 20. And, you know, even our tour guide, she kind of said something about that when we went on with 18. She said she was a little nervous because it's the biggest group she's had. So I don't think usually they're that big. Usually I think, you know, the groups are, you know, five or six people.
Oh, yeah. And she did really well. She became an honorary Disney nerd and really had a good time.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And it was a lot of good useful information, you know, above and beyond what the, you know, the backstage Disney stuff you got.
Oh, sure. Now, one of the things I carried out of there was the plans for a hydroponic grow tank. One of the things they show us every time we do that tour is the hydroponic tank, where you have the plants floating on top of like a 10-gallon tank, and the roots are growing in the water. So in my lab at school, I'm going to be putting one of those together. Got my tank all set, got the styrofoam all ready and my pumps. So just got to nail down the nutrition, the nutrients, and we'll be ready to go.
That's awesome. What are you going to grow?
I haven't decided yet, but more than likely it's going to be something like basil or things like that on top. I have to kind of see. I'm not too sure I want to grow anything bigger than that. Maybe lettuce. I've seen a couple of different lettuce plants that worked out pretty well. Trying to want to get something that'll grow relatively quickly, but won't get too huge.
Good point.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I like the fact that you don't have to water it.
I know, right? You still have to, still got to keep the water going. You got to keep the nutrients all set.
Sure.
So it'll probably still just as tough as growing a normal plant.
I don't have a green thumb, so.
Oh yeah. Now either way, I have to work at it, but it's a fun thing.
Yeah,
I don't mind at all.
Okay, so are you Disney nerds because you like come here a lot, or because you know like all the weird trivia that like
yes.
Nobody
See,
else
yes.
knows?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so how do you get to become a Disney nerd?
It's easy.
Like, would I qualify?
Watch, he's gonna. He'll do it right now.
I like.
You're gonna go through an
induction. Could I pass
ceremony?
The induction
yeah,
test?
Yeah,
should we like play music?
You're gonna go through like.
I just wear this
Disney
badge.
Yeah, you wear
oh,
that
okay,
badge.
All right. Am I back?
And you
I'm
listen
not
to the podcast,
this,
and then
I'm
you're automatically
you're in.
Inducted.
This is great. Okay. So there's 18 of us. We're waiting on you. Okay, so the plan is we're going to get in there. We're going to be super quick because there's another tour that's happening, and we're going to pass them and start off at a different
spot. Oh, yeah, we're going to pass
them. Yeah, we're going to pass them. So I'm going to hand out whisper units because I'm not a very loud person, so you can all hear me. We're going to go zoom, 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 hand them all out. And then we'll get in the greenhouse, talk about everything you ever wanted to know about plants. All right? Sound like plants? Okay. I'm excited. Yeah, I was going to say, here, come over here. Huddle in a corner. We can, like, huddle up. I could introduce myself while we're waiting. If you want to learn about me, I'm pretty interesting. I'm from Washington, D.C. My name's Angie. I came down to Florida in 2009. And I came for my degree in marine biology and oceanography at Florida Tech. Then I came to Disney. I did an internship over at the Seas in education. I left the company. I did aquaculture for a year or so in Vero Beach. Then I came back to Orlando for my master's degree at UCF in conservation biology. And then I came back to Disney. I did an internship as an aquarist at the Seas. And now I'm finishing my last one up here in aquaculture. So we're going to talk about fish for the next hour, right? Yeah? Okay. Then I can go over the Seas, do a tour over there. Great. But I know a lot about plants working here. I've been here for about 4 months.
Gone to our IPM lab. We skipped it. We're going to talk about it on the way out. It's our bug lab. IPM stands for Integrated Pest Management. So keep on. We use a lot of different forms of IPM here. Planting those barricade crops is a form of IPM. These air curtains above the door are a form of IPM. They feel like a big breeze of air when you walk in the door. They have them at grocery stores. They have them at hospitals to prevent bugs from getting inside. Because if bugs got in the hospital, people would get sick. If bugs got into a grocery store, you wouldn't want to eat the produce. So it's a big gust of air, and it's going to kick any bugs out that are trying to sneak in behind you. So it's another form of IPM. It's really cool. And follow me down inside the creative greenhouse. All right, come on in. Okay, welcome to the Creative Greenhouse. We call it the Creative Greenhouse because we grow things in here pretty creatively. You will notice in all of our greenhouses, we don't have any soil. So there's no soil in any of our greenhouses, which means we grow things hydroponically. You need five things to grow a plant. I say swans to help me remember. Sunlight, water, air, nutrients, and support. When you think of support, you normally think of the dirt outside, but since we don't have any in our greenhouses, we use lots of other things like metal poles. If you guys come check out our aeroponic system, we have Brussels sprout on here, and they're supported on these metal poles with strips of Velcro to support them growing upwards. As they rotate, they get all the air and sunlight. And then if you look in these boxes, they're getting misted with water and nutrients. And they are eating all the time as they get sprayed. They're an all-you-can-eat buffet. So things in our greenhouses tend to grow a lot. And then we'll talk about these hybrid fish over here. You grow hybrid fish because you want two of the best traits that they possess. So we have hybrid striped bass on my far left. They are a mix between white and striped bass. One goes really big and one goes really fast. And the reason you would want that is you could feed more people faster with our growing population. Same with these tilapia. We have blue and Nile tilapia for the same exact reason. And we are going to feed them if you guys want to feed them. It's a pretty fun part of the tour. Anybody? Anybody? Come on up. If you want to feed them, just watch your step. I'm going to ask that you guys that cup your hands over the tank. And I'll pour some food in your hands, and then we'll all throw it in together, alright? So come on, let's go down. Pour some in your hands. So the cool thing about tilapia is they have a very high food conversion ratio. So cows hold about 10 pounds of food to produce 1 pound of meat. Put your hands over the tank. Yeah. Chicken need about 3 pounds of food to produce 1 pound of meat. Tilapia only need about 1.2 pounds. So they're really, really efficient at converting their food into body mass. So that's why we feed them so much. Anybody else? Did you want to do it? All right, we're going to go in on three. Ready?
Okay, well, that was our Friday noon tour. We had that. We got done probably around 1 o'clock and did a couple other things at Epcot. Then what we got ready for was the Sample-a-thon.
Yeah. Sample-a-thon. So Sample-a-thon, we met in Canada at 5 o'clock. And I know that Joe Spady did an amazing job. He made us two flags for the Sample-a-thon, so that way you could see us coming and see us going from a good distance away. It came in incredibly helpful.
Oh, it did. And then the back flag I thought was great just because we could tell where the tail end Charlie was of our group, and we can kind of keep, like, knowing where we were.
I think everybody was having fun carrying the flag, too. I know I was.
Right.
But you could see it. I mean, we could see it probably a couple hundred yards away. You could still see where the flag was, so we knew where we were.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which made it a little easier for our group to kind of break up into smaller groups as we're walking around. It was, unfortunately, very crowded.
Was crowded. I was, I'll be honest with you, when we got to Canada, we hung around there for a little while, and I was getting a little nervous. Because we had a few people there, but it was mostly us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of grew as we moved on.
Got into the United Kingdom and then into France, I feel like we picked up a few more people.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's how it is every year. We'll pick up people and we'll lose people as we walk around.
Yeah.
I think our picture, we took a picture in Japan. We had probably like 18-20 then.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So it wasn't that bad at all. And it was a really fun time because we were stopping every so often, doing some trivia questions, giving out some prizes. Excuse me. And we want to thank who for those prizes?
Bobby and April with Pixie Purchases with April. They're personal shoppers, and you can contact them or join April's group, which is Pixie Purchases with April, on Facebook. And if you've got – she does all kind of great sales, like stuff they find at the outlet and stuff. And a lot of times you can buy stuff from her and shipped. It'll still be cheaper than what it was in the park. But then also on top, in addition to that, if there's something specific you want from the parks, she can go get that for you. I highly recommend some of the higher end stuff, like my wife likes the Dooney and Burke purses and stuff like that. And sometimes you can order those online. What's good about using her is she can find a lot of those purses, the nicer ones. It has a lot to do with placement. It has to do how that pattern lays on the purse. So she can find one and take pictures of that specific purse and show it to you.
Wow, that's pretty personal treatment there. That's great.
Yeah, so a lot of times you just order one. It might not – the placement might not be exactly what you're looking for. It might not have some of the components you want on it, because it just depends on how it's laid out and how that piece of leather or vinyl is cut.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, great. Good to know. They also helped us out with prizes for the scavenger hunt. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes.
Yep.
Excuse me. So we continued our half-simplethon. We made it all the way down to America, watched the concert, and just hung out. And it seemed like the park emptied out before Illumination started that night, too.
Yeah, it got much quieter then.
Did get much quieter.
Between like 9 and 10, it almost emptied out, which was awesome for us. We had a great little spot over by Germany, right on the water. We could have stayed by Italy, but I think we decided to go to Germany anyway. But everywhere was open. Usually you never see it that open for Illuminations. It was really good.
You think that's partially because Illuminations getting, you know, during the weekend like that for Food and Wine getting pushed till 10?
Yeah, no, I totally do. People just kind of don't want to hang out, I think.
And I think it's how crowded it gets after Illuminations is over. And then to take into account that we were, I wonder how busy it was over by Canada, over by Mexico.
It didn't look like they crowded all the way around, to be honest with you. Just so I was watching during the fireworks and stuff. We did kind of see where Germany does finally get rid of their pretzels at one point. It seems like they just give away their food when they finally get to the point of the night when it's going to be ending, which was very, very kind of unexpected. Cool.
That is interesting. I guess if you're going to throw it away, you might as well give it away.
Right, which you usually don't get the attitude from a theme park. Usually you get the old, we got to throw it away, we can't give it away.
Yeah.
But it was a really nice surprise. And Illuminations were pretty cool. We saw something in the Epcot pond I just want to mention, which was really phenomenal. We saw a softback turtle, which was probably about, I don't know, a foot and a half across or from front to back.
Oh, bigger than that front to back, I think.
Okay, and it was funny as hell because it was just swimming around fighting the ducks for the food. Now, cool as hell is that at Animal Kingdom on Sunday, I saw a turtle over there too. It was just like the same type of turtle, and kind of weird to see two turtles on one trip. They've never seen them before.
Hmm.
Right?
That's pretty interesting, yeah. Especially a big turtle like that.
Right. The kids loved it.
It was a big guy. Yeah.
The kids loved it. It kept them busy for like a half hour waiting for the fireworks. They were loving the hell out of that guy.
We hung out. I don't know where you guys ended up going, but I know there was a crew of us that kind of hung out and chatted even after Illuminations. And
I think that was the case, but somehow I still ended up people in my car going back to the hotel. So I don't think we lasted that much longer.
No.
But it was cool to walk out with nobody. I mean, literally nobody. Like, we took a picture. We stopped and took a picture with literally nobody in the background, just our little group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, it's great to do those type of pictures and kind of have those, like, slow walkouts. John and I did that at Hollywood Studios a couple nights later, too, where you just wait out the people maybe a half hour after the last show, and all of a sudden the park's almost empty.
I'll tell you, that came in pretty handy a couple nights later, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was kind of me and your plan. It didn't pan out that way. I think it ended up better, but...
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. So our sample-thon went really well. Thanks to everybody who showed up for that. We really, really had a good time. I don't think you can't have a good time other than having hurricanes come through and such like that. So
right. You canceled altogether.
Hey, Jimmy's buying beer?
Yeah.
Jimmy. All I heard, Jimmy bought beer.
All right.
Jimmy, we're in the UK. We're jumping right into the trivia contest here. What do you think?
I think I got a Carl's combo in my hand, and I'm very happy.
That's a good thing.
Are we ready? Yep. What company sponsors the department store found in the Japan Pavilion?
Alibaba.
No. Japan Pavilion.
Target.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's read the answers.
Walmart.
A. Mikimoto. B. Shinskansen. C. Mitsukashi.
Yeah.
D. Teppan Ito.
C.
You can't win. You're playing the phone.
I'm holding the flag.
Okay, you're right. You can win. Let him win.
Is it
C?
He already got one.
Is it C?
It's C.
That's right. I saw that.
Wait, so we just dominated that one?
Yeah, we just got like all
here, I got 10 bucks.
10 bucks? I'm your child.
What? 15.
25.
Right?
I got to recoup some of my loss.
You forgot the shipping and handling.
One more on Joe.
And the speedies are for him.
Joey, speak up if you know it.
All right. Can you take a medium?
Nick, speak up.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we can go with an easy
one. Go with an easy one? All right.
Easy one. All right, Hunter, easy one.
What civilization's culture is most represented on the pyramid found in front of the Mexico Pavilion?
What civilization? Mayan.
I know.
Hands up.
Hands up. Hands up.
No.
Inca.
No.
Aztec.
It's the ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Nice job, buddy.
What's the
coolest
answer?
Azteca?
I was
going to
say that.
What
I got for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we already have
Saturday, woke up all bright, beautiful day, and we got ourselves ready for the scavenger hunt over at the Magic Kingdom. We met up with everybody around 11 o'clock, and it was a really, really fun time. So we had a bigger turnout than we've ever had, and it kind of threw us off just a little bit. So we put a couple teams together, and I want to thank those teams who came out because it was a really hot day.
Hang it was pretty warm.
It was very toasty.
Also, what we had to deal with was traffic from the running events going on and the extra traffic coming to the Magic Kingdom because they were going to do the Astros parade that day too.
Yep.
Which they did, which is pretty cool. We were there to check it out. But it did add extra couple 20,000 people to the park.
I think the biggest impact was people trying to get there.
Well, right. We waited an extra half hour before we started the hunt, and everybody was pretty patient about that and understood. And once we started the hunt, we had maybe, I think, two more teams show up who we sent out right after the original teams. And we then had everybody meet back over behind the Christmas store over by Liberty Square. We figured with the parades going on, with the crowds, let's keep everybody on the side of the park we're actually doing the scavenger hunt in, and then we were going to grade it afterwards.
Ended up being a good area.
Oh, it was a great area. One of the things we got to do for next year is got to get more organized on my part. I apologize to all the teams who waited. We will have two keys next year, so we'll be able to grade the papers a lot more faster. And we'll also do some trivia, I think, afterwards, too, just to keep people occupied and kind of having a good time.
The biggest mistake I think we made.
We didn't get a picture.
We're not getting a group. Before you announced the winner, when you huddled everybody together, we should have moved everybody over in the one location, got a good group picture, and then announced the winners.
Yeah. I need somebody to back me up next year.
I didn't think about it. And
sure, no. We got it afterwards.
You know what happened was, once you announced the winners, a lot of people start splitting.
Right.
The lights came
on. We were there for a while, so I totally get it, and I felt bad for them. Yeah. But anyway, before we get too much further, I want to go through the team names, and again, thank everybody for showing up. We had Team Ace, we had Destination Disney, we had Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated, we had the Sparkle Motion Team, we had the Florida Plunge Team, the Team New England, the Gator Girls, Team Late Starters, because they started late, Team Mumsy, and the winner was Destination Disney. Yep, Destination Disney won it this year, and they won it by 2 full points, which is a bigger breakup than it was last year. I think last year was a point or a point and a half.
Half a point. Heidi and Frank lost by half a – they got second place by half a point last year.
Mm.
And yep. They were second place again this year. That was Sparkle Disney.
Yeah, they ended up getting second again. Yep.
Yeah, third and fourth was a tie between the New Englanders and the Florida Plunge.
Right, right. So it was a matter of like 3 or 4 points between fourth place and first place this year. Everybody did great. We had two questions that were a question during the grading process, but they were proved to be accurate, so we made our changes then. I'm not adverse to making changes on the spot when it's proved to me. But other than that, I think everything went pretty well.
Lots of fun.
I think it was incredibly well put together. I was overjoyed with the amount of teams we had.
And we had more teams than that because we grouped some of them together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had 11.
It was just so exciting. And people loved it. They absolutely loved it. And not only did the people that were doing the scavenger hunt love it, the cast members that were there loved it as well.
Oh, that's right. I was at the Briar Patch the next day getting a sweatshirt for my daughter, and I had my Disney Nerd shirt on. The girl at the counter was like, oh, the Disney, we were helping your guys out of the scavenger hunt the other day. And the one girl was in the Briar Patch. The other girl was over at Adventureland, which she was working there. So it was pretty cool. They were into it.
That's awesome. I also want to give a shout out to the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast for kind of playing a part in our scavenger hunt. One of the questions for those who weren't there, we found out that our buddies over the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast was having just like a half an hour meetup during the time that we were having the scavenger hunt. So we added it to our scavenger hunt for the teams. One of the ways they can get points is to stop over and say hello and bring something back. So that was pretty awesome to incorporate them in that. And I know they loved it, the team stopping by. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was great meeting up with those guys. And it wasn't even that easy of a hint. They had to figure out it was the Tiki guys. Where do you think they'd be meeting?
That's awesome.
All right, nerds, we have gathered at our quiet spot. Ed's about to go over some of the rules.
Jimmy.
Not everybody.
One person from each team.
And then here's where Jimmy, I want you to check off each team. We'll just give out the map, make sure we have everybody. Your team? Name? Okay.
Florida Plunge, in the house.
Nation. What's your team name?
Doofenshmirtz in the house.
Tigger.
Team Tigger.
No way they spell Doofenshmirtz right.
Ace.
Ace. Perfect.
Team New England.
Team New England.
You guys are all together?
I got you guys.
Sparkle?
Yep.
Who else?
That's it.
Okay, you only got the others? Okay. So here we go, guys. Couple of things. Okay, it's a friendly scavenger hunt. We do have prizes. It's not going to be really competitive, though. We want you to go out and have fun. Read some of the rules on the front page. We don't want to bother any cast members if they're taking care of somebody. Wait till they're done. Same thing with security guards if we do anything with them. Anything you need to take a picture with, try to be as polite as possible. Every hunt has thank you cards for our cast members. If you don't know a question, check out the cast members. They might have an answer for you. Definitely use these cards. We don't want to have anybody come back with any of these thank you cards. So definitely take advantage and use them out in the park. Okay. I do want to point out something. On the general section, there is... Oh, I'm sorry. In the Adventureland section, there's a bunch of these pictures of letters. I want to point out, this is a C, not a G. This is a C, not a G.
Looks like a wrench.
Yes, I know. But you got to deal with what you got. Take your pictures on one phone or camera. Just keep it the same one so it makes it easier later on. We grade them. And now what we're going to do is I want each of the team members to come up. We're going to take actually the one from each team. I want you to pick a chip, and I'm going to give you the clue.
What do you have here? So a bag what you of want... chips with numbers?
Yep, I have a bag of chips numbered 1 to 10, and then I also have the clues here. So what I want you to do is you're going to write down asterisk, 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 and then what I read out to you. What number?
Three.
Has been with Disney 5 or more years.
Okay. That's number 3. Everybody writes them all down?
No.
No,
no,
just
guys,
the one you got.
You're only going to write down your
just
chip.
Just write down your chip. Okay.
Works in the college program.
That was number one.
That was two.
That was two. I'm sorry.
Yep, that's right. And you guys, you can keep the chips.
Four.
Four. Three. Has striped orange socks. Oh, and guys, definitely pass around pens, too. If you guys need pens, take doubles just in case. Make sure they work before you leave.
Do we just have to answer this question, or do we have to get a picture?
You'll see a question. You'll see a question inside there with asterisks on it, and it will tell you exactly what to do.
Okay.
It brings up another point too. In the directions, I have two things. This isn't too noticeable, but I have a GP or a GGP. GP, get a picture. GGP, get a group picture. Okay.
Wow.
So one is works in the security field, not while busy. You guys.
Eight.
Eight. Same thing, works in the security field, not while busy. Another team?
I don't know if these are part of the package or if
we're
just giving
them. No, those are the gifts. Give those cast members sort of a thank you.
Okay, awesome.
So, hometown west of the Mississippi.
I heard
six. Has a holiday themed trading pin. So, we're going to look for the trading pins and have they have holiday themed.
Everything's holiday themed.
Any other teams we miss? Okay, guys. So now on the front page, on the bottom in blue, we started at 11:30, which means we're going to go to 2:30. So we're going to finish at 2:30, and we're going to finish at the location behind the Christmas store, behind where they do the character meet and greet. There's supposedly a big, wide-open area back there with a wall to sit on and kind of just hang out while we do the grading. So we're going to be around there.
Station, yeah.
With the parade at 2, we don't think we can get back over there. So I thought we'll stay on that side of the park.
Makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. I think that's it. Any questions? Okay, guys.
Everyone's
awesome.
Good?
Thanks for coming out, and we'll see you in a couple hours.
All right. The question, do you just like say what they're called?
Well, you'll see a question in here that actually ends with three asterisks, and you just fill in that part of the question with that statement.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
You'll figure it out, yep.
Nice job, Ed. This is going to be fun.
Thanks. This should be good.
Behind it, there's like a little pavilion that Keanu used to do, and Jack and Sally, right behind it. Like, so if you walk from the street through the Christmas tree, the back door, right there, there's like a little area. We just tried to think of someplace that's not too busy, so we can feed up.
So after the scavenger hunt, we basically were done as far as the meets went, at least the official meets. We ended up doing a bunch of different things after that, though.
Yes, we did. I know I saw a lot of pictures. I had to head back to my resort and then met up with everybody later on that evening for a lot of fun and a few attractions. So, but we did end up aligning several of our fast passes throughout the trip, and especially on Saturday, so that we could have some of those experiences together.
Oh, yeah. We got some great pictures from It's a Small World with us and the three of us and Morgan, and then Sam in the background with his family in the window, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. That's right. You never have a chance to take pictures back and forth at the same time with, like, you know, somebody you know up top there.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty cool to see those. And also the Small World using the Magic Band. You still see the little bit of magic at the end as you're getting off and seeing your name on the screens. I remember that sticking out.
Yeah, and then later on that day, Lisa had met back. Ed, you had shot off and went to studios.
I headed off to Hollywood Studios. That was my only shot to go the whole trip, and I had to see the Star Wars show, which I have a blog post coming up about this. I watched the Star Wars show from between the theater and the stage, so right in front of the theater, right up in top in front of me. Interesting place to watch it from. You'll see some of the pictures from me later on.
And if anybody has not ever seen it, I live streamed it earlier in the week last week. So you can go to the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page and scroll down and you can find that. You can find it.
So like we were talking about before, one of the benefits of staying later in the parks is that you have the opportunity to take those pictures where there's nobody behind you. We talk about doing it at Epcot as we're walking out of World Showcase and then down underneath Spaceship Earth. But we had the opportunity to walk out of Magic Kingdom extra late on Saturday night.
First time that
Jimmy ever saw the Kiss goodnight. It was myself, Jimmy, Sam and his family, Morgan. And as we were walking from Liberty Square out in front of the castle, they were beginning to set up these big colored blocks in front of the castle. And you really got a sense and a feel that some magic was coming down the pipeline.
Yep, for sure.
So we got a lot of great pictures of that. And then as we were coming down Main Street and heading towards the train station, you saw these two big bright white lights. And you realized that they
were
recording.
Something's going on.
You saw cameras, you saw, and as you got closer and closer, you saw up on the stage was Nick Lachey and Julianne Hough, who were recording their intros to each of the segments for the Christmas Day program.
It was pretty awesome.
So is the program supposed to take place at night, or was those were those lights that bright that you looked like it appeared to be daytime?
Oh, no. I think you would definitely know it's night because they're shooting all the way back to the castle. The lights are just to – those lights were just to illuminate them and put them in a good lighting for the camera.
Right.
Gotcha.
And they were meant to be at night. The majority of the takes that they were doing, not only were introducing the performers, which was interesting because they had been so very tight-lipped about who was performing, and then as we were sitting there behind them
– we know
listening,
now.
Yeah. we knew – oh, well, now we know who's performing here tomorrow, and now we know who's performing in this place at this time.
Yeah.
The other thing was that, and if you recall from last year when they did this holiday spectacular, they do a countdown, and they, as they light up each of the castles, Sleeping Beauty Castle, the castle in Paris, the castle in Hong Kong, Cinderella Castle. So those were the things that they were doing. You know, they'd count down from five and everybody would cheer, and then they'd go through their script. And then at the end of their script, they'd start counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that was the cue to cut to the castle being lit up.
Yep. It was pretty awesome. And me and Lisa and Sam and his family all could possibly be on television.
Yeah, guys, look for them on Christmas Day with their Disney Nerds t-shirts on.
Yeah, and me and Lisa were dressed appropriately because I had my green Disney Nerds podcast t-shirt on, and Lisa had her red Disney Nerds podcast. We looked like Christmas.
We looked like Christmas. We were very well decorated.
Yes.
Very cool. Now, if you haven't caught on, they've been recording pretty much the whole time we were down there at different times at different parks. When I was there on Monday, even still, they were recording right in front of the castle, and this was more of the captive recording, meaning they had a group of probably about 200 people right in front of the stage by the castle who they were roped in there, meaning they were the crowd who was going to be cheering for whatever band was going to come on, and they were giving them pretty specific directions on how they wanted them to cheer, how they wanted them to clap, what they wanted to do with things thrown into the crowd, stuff like that. So it was kind of interesting kind of listening in and seeing what they were doing.
Well, we got some of that. When me and Lisa was standing there, you know, the director's talking to the crowd, too, like, hey, I need energy. Like, he cut one take off and said, I need more energy from the crowd.
And, like, it wasn't my favorite guys. Cut. I think my favorite cut was somebody was in a scooter and they were backing up. He's listening through his earphones. Did you catch that beep? Yeah, we caught that. Okay, we got to do it all over again.
Got to do it again.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool seeing the process in work.
It's interesting because they're like, all right, Nick, we're gonna zoom in on you. We're just gonna do some I forgot what he called it, but
fadeaways, I think is what they were calling it.
But. Yeah, and like So he's just talking, like Nick Lachey is talking, but he's just saying nothing. And he's just talking to make it look like he's looking at her and talking. And she had to do the same thing. So it's just a shot with no sound, like they're talking to each other.
It almost makes you wonder if that's how they fade to commercial. I'm really excited to see it on Christmas Day. I really wonder if that's how they fade out to commercial, is just one of them leaning, because they did two different cuts. One of Julianne talking to Nick, the other one of Nick talking to Julianne. So I wonder if that's how they cut away to commercial, is
maybe one
of them leaning over to the other and acting like they're talking to each other.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, well, we will find out. Okay, guys. Well, I'm tired. I still have not recovered fully from this trip. And I think that's all we're going to do probably for tonight. What we're going to do is we'll get back for a part two to our trip reports, and we're going to get a little bit more personal about some of the things we did maybe for the first time, or something that worked out really exceptionally well, or maybe something that might not have worked out as well. And actually, let me throw a preview for that. One of the things I discovered at the medium resorts, the mid resorts, is that they don't have clock radios anymore in the rooms. I'm not sure if that's at the values or if that's at the deluxes also, but the first night there, I reached over to set my alarm and there was no clock there. It was kind of too late to really do anything about it. The next morning, I called and asked about it. Actually, I went to the front desk because I had to do something else over there, and I asked them about it. It's like, hey, FYI, I couldn't find my clock in my room. What's up? They're taken out, sir. We don't have the clocks in the rooms anymore. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. I mean, even the places that I pay $60 a night for have clocks, at least. It's like, oh, well, you know, we figure we're on vacation. We don't want to ruin your vacation time. And yeah, I don't buy that. I'm still not sure why they took the clocks out. It's a wait and see.
He was very touchy. He was very touchy about his clock, Lisa. He was. He was very disturbed about the clock. I had to hear about the clock one morning, like, all the way to the parks.
Yeah, well, it's just a matter of you look over for the clock to
and
see what time
there.
It is.
Yeah, I get it.
And you get to roll right back over and fall back asleep again and then go the extra 2 hours.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. Small thing, granted. Just such a weird thing.
Yeah.
I get
that's
it.
All.
I
think
get
it's because it's smartphones.
I think it's because of the time change weekend. I personally think they didn't want
to
have to deal with that.
So you think the clocks will be back?
Complaining. Yeah, actually, but we'll see.
Can we place a wager?
There had to be
a beer or something?
I think that's labor-intensive to take all the clocks out of the room and then put all the clocks back.
I can't think of a better reason at this point.
All right, I got a beer
we'll
on
see.
It.
Again,
wanna,
very minor.
Take it?
Very minor. Nah, that's okay.
All right.
But again, a really fun trip. I had a blast. I've met more people this time around than I've met in any other trip. I think we've been able to get more stuff accomplished and still had a lot of time to do things I wanted to do. So good all the way around.
I agree.
It was very fun. Time to start planning next year.
No, I need another couple weeks.
Oh. All right. You got till December 1st.
Thanks.
Don't think that other people haven't started talking about it yet, though.
Oh, yeah, no. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's already
I think,
out there.
You know, so, and this isn't planned because I don't know when it's going to be, but I think it was the perfect week other than, like, I think we had the perfect weekend other than being race weekend.
Yes, I agree with that. Race weekend definitely ramped it up a little bit as far as crowd-wise and traffic-wise, just with certain roads closed around the parks and the property. Made it just a little bit difficult to get around.
It was. I was with Joe on that morning. He had come by Caribbean Beach in order to hop on the bus, and he was a bus stop ahead of me. It took the bus forever to get to us. It was so challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some bus issues too from the Caribbean. We'll talk about that later.
Yep.
But other than that, again, guys, awesome trip. The weather was phenomenal. It drizzled maybe 10 minutes the entire time I was down there. Just a great trip.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Nope, not at all. And Lisa even got her 80s temperature, so it stayed hot.
I did. It was heavenly. I did.
Yeah.
It was even comfortable at night.
I think it's going out of the 40s this week, so I would love to tour the parks in the 40s. That's, to me, perfect. 50s, 40s.
Please is not feeling you.
Like rolling over, like just horrifying. We want to be living down there by next year at some point, so.
Then you'll be begging for the cool weather.
Yeah, right.
Right? Then I'll invite Ed down. He can stay with me and enjoy the 40-degree day. Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. Okay, guys. Well, that is it for show number 210. If you're listening to the show and you were with us this weekend, guys, thanks for showing up. We had a blast. If you didn't have a chance to get down, well, as Jimmy said, we've got about 11 months and 3 weeks to start planning for the next time.
Be here before you know it.
I know. That's the best part about it, is your next Disney trip is only around the corner. So, for Jimmy, for Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Guarini.
So long, everybody.
Rest in peace, the haunting's free, so hurry back.